Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 33. Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And our subject this morning is putting God first. Putting God first. This is the great principle that is encapsulated in this tremendous verse. These, of course, are the words of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, part of the very famous Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, well, the Lord addresses primarily his disciples, and he speaks wonderful things, wonderful teaching, beginning with Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, as many of you will know, the declarations of the blessedness of the Lord's people. And then he goes on to speak about Christian holiness, about how we are to be holy people. If we call ourselves Christians, we are to live holy lives. And if something distracts us or leads us into temptation and sin, we are to cut it off from our lives and from ourselves. The obligation for Christian holiness is very keenly spelt out by the Lord in this sermon. He also goes on to say how we are to be sincere Christians. That's a great part of the Sermon on the Mount. We are to be sincere Christians, not nominal Christians, not outwardly religious. We are to be true Christians, those who really are Christians. The Lord, even in this chapter, I won't spend too long on this, but he speaks out against those who are outwardly religious. Because there were people called scribes and Pharisees in those times, and they were people, the vast majority of them, who were just outwardly religious. They would go around in their long cloaks, they would make prayers out in public because they wanted to have the approval of men. They wanted to be seen of men. God's approval, that wasn't their great concern. They just wanted everyone to look at them and say, oh, how wonderful this person is. How religious this person is. Look how he prays. Look how he dresses. But he's just an outwardly religious person. And that is very wrong. We ought to be sincere Christians, true Christians, not just nominal, but our hearts belong to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, well, he says that when we pray, we are to pray secretly, not out in the open, as it were. Religion is not a show, it's not a spectacle. It's something that is personal with the Lord. And when we do that, when we pray secretly, when we love the Lord secretly, the God who sees us in secret, he will reward us openly. So that is a great theme of this chapter, and this is the context for these words, that we are to be sincere Christians. And this is what a sincere Christian does. Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, it's such a simple message this morning. Putting God first. Look at those words. Couldn't be plainer or simpler. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We must put God first in our lives. Not second place, not third place. We put the Lord first. Why? Why do we have to put God first? Well, this is his rightful place. This is God's rightful place to be put first in your life. That is what he is worthy of. He is the true and living God. If he was not the true and living God, well, then I would never ask you to do this. The Lord would never say this. If this God of the Bible was just an idea or a concept or some philosophy that man had made up, there'd be no reason to put God first. If the God of the Bible was just an idol, like many of the nations in this time had idols of wood and stone, even some religions nowadays, they worship idols of wood and stone made out of men's hands. If this was the God of the Bible, well, again, I would say, why? You don't have to put this God first. It's just wood. It's just stone. You've made it out of your own hands. You don't have to put that God first. But this God of the Bible is the true and living God, the God who rules on high. He is our creator. He has created all things. We constantly speak about this. Stretched forth the heavens that we see above us, and the earth beneath us. He laid the foundations of the earth. He created in us a living soul. He is the reason that we have life and health. The reason our hearts beat is because of God. He has to have the prominent place in our lives. He is a king. There is none higher than God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God is an almighty king. He reigns on high. He reigns in heaven. There is none that can even be compared unto this God. He is praised without ceasing by a heavenly host, by a great multitude of angels. He's a God of almighty power. He can do all things. There's nothing too hard from him. He's a God who has had no beginning and shall know no end. This is a tremendous God. How much we ought to put him first. And then you think about how much he knows about us. God, well, he is all-seeing. He sees everything about us. He knows everything about us. Everybody is in the hands of the living God. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, it makes no difference. We're all in the hands of the living God. God knew us even before anybody else knew us. From the womb, God knew us intimately. He knew all about us. He knew how we would live, how we would grow up. Even when we were in the womb, he knew about us in our adult lives. He knew everything about us. This is the God who knew us first. So we ought to put him first. That's the very simple principle that I put to you first of all. We ought to put God first because that is his rightful place. The unbeliever, of course, those in this world do not acknowledge this. They refuse to put God first. Of course, God is at the bottom of people's lists nowadays for unbelievers. You try and speak to people about God. They say, oh, I haven't got time to think about God. I've got so many other things to think about, far more important things. I've got work, I've got family. I've got finances, bills to pay, with all that, children to feed. I haven't got time to think about God. He's bottom of the list, if he is there at all. And indeed, even non-important things they put before God. Their social lives, their hobbies, their recreations, their own interests, sports and so forth. Anything before God. Well, what an insult that is. To the God who rules on high. What an insult. But dear friends, I have to challenge us. Are we like that? Are we like that? We who call ourselves Christians. Do we put God first? Not second, not third. Do we put him first? You know, it's worse for us. It's worse for us. It's a greater insult to God if we don't put God first. You can understand with the unbeliever. The unbeliever, they don't believe in God. They're against God. They reject God. Of course, they're not going to put God first. But if the people of God, the people who call themselves Christians, even they don't put God first, what an insult to God that is. Even the people of God, the professing church, put God second, third. What a terrible insult. Dear friends, we have to examine ourselves that we are not like unbelievers, but that God has that rightful place in our lives, ruling over us. Does he have that great priority? Does he have that top spot? Let me just put these things to you. Is he the great priority in our lives? Our great purpose every day is to honor God, to praise him, to pray to him. Do we pray to God every day? The first thing that we seek to do every day is to seek God's face and ask for help. The first thing, before everything else, I must spend time with God. Do you put the will of God first in your life? When you wake up every day, you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to put your will first. Not my will, not what I want to do. Oh, this day is for me. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, God, I'm going to put your will first. What do you want me to do today? How do you want to use me for your will, according to your gracious, sovereign will? That's what it means to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, there is a tremendous blessing attached to this. If you put God first, what's going to happen? Well, there is a tremendous promise attached to this. Read it with me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then there's a promise. If you do this, all these things shall be added unto you. All these things are tremendous promise. What is the Lord speaking about? Well, earlier in this chapter, the Lord mentions those believers who get anxious about their daily lives. Well, look at verse 31, for example. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? There were believers who were acting like unbelievers. Believers were worrying, getting very anxious. Oh, we don't have enough food. Oh, who's going to pay this? What's going to happen this day and this day and this day? They were getting so worried about all these things. They were acting like unbelievers. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the ungodly. That's how the ungodly behave. But then verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your heavenly Father knows all the things that you need. So basically what this means, the only way to ensure that you have all that you need in this life, the only way to make sure of that is to put God first, is to not keep worrying about those things, but worry about God. Is he first in my life? If you do that, then everything else will be given to you. You have no need to worry. This is the promise that the Lord gives us. You put him first, God will provide. This is a tremendous promise and a wonderful promise. In my experience, the people who are most contented as Christians, the people who are most at peace, the people who are most blessed as Christians are always the ones who put God first. Always the ones who are there every meeting. Always the ones who serve in the church. They're the ones who never lack, who never go without, the ones who put God first. So this is the way that we ensure that we have all things. And by the way, you can extend it to other things. You can extend it to your own relationships. People always ask for advice in marriage and so forth. How do I have a better marriage? I have a problem with my husband. I have a problem with my wife. What do I have to do? Do you know what you have to do? Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Are you a parent? You have problems perhaps raising your children. My children have gone off the rails. I don't know what to do. Can you give me advice? It's very simple. Put God first. In your home, in your house, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If things are going wrong in your life, if things, they don't seem to make sense, why is this happening? Why is that happening? Well, then you have to ask yourself, have I put God first? If you haven't put God first, well, then that's your answer. This is why everything is going wrong. You don't want to put God first in your life. You have your answer. So, dear friends, I know this is meant to be an evangelistic meeting, but I have to challenge, well, myself, as well as everybody here, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There is a tremendous blessing and promise, but we must put God first. But let's seek to apply this evangelistically. Does this speak to us at all about the salvation of souls? Yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is what we have to seek first. If we are to be true Christians, we have to seek first the kingdom of God. Are you in the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? We're speaking about eternal things. God's kingdom is eternal. The kingdoms of this world, they rise and they fall. But God's kingdom is eternal, everlasting. Are you in that kingdom? Do you have eternal life? How do you enter into this kingdom, into the kingdom of God? Some people are very confused about this. Some people think they can enter into the kingdom of God through the church, through church attendance. If I just attend a church for however many weeks or months, then I'm in the kingdom of God. Or if I become a church member, a member of a church, then I'm in the kingdom of God. Dear friends, I don't want to discourage church membership, but if you think that, that's not true. Oh, I'm a member of a church, of the local church, therefore I'm in the kingdom of God. That's not true. You don't enter into the kingdom of God through church membership. It's through faith, personal faith. That's so important. That is what you must remember. It's not by being a member of a church or by being a member of a nation or a family. Oh, my father is a Christian. My mother is a Christian. I'm a member of the family. No, that's entirely wrong. We enter into the kingdom of God by personal faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have faith in what he has done? What he's done on the cross at Calvary? He suffered and died that you may be forgiven your sin. He took upon himself the punishment for your sin, the punishment that you deserve. He took it upon himself so that we may be free from condemnation, so that we may be saved. But we need also the righteousness of Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, this is so important for one's salvation, and this is something we have to consider first of all if we are to be counted as Christians. We have the righteousness of God. You can't get to heaven based on your own goodness, based on your own righteousness. You're not good enough. Heaven is a holy place, a clean place. God is a holy God. We can't come to him with our goodness because we know that we've sinned. We know that we've done terrible things in our lives. We know that we've fallen short of the standard of God. So we need the righteousness of another. God's righteousness. We need the righteousness of Christ. Christ has lived that perfect life, that sinless life. And when we have faith in Christ, we have faith in his righteousness. His righteousness will get me to heaven. I put all my faith in him. This is what it means to have faith. We trust in his righteousness. Why, it's like, if I can give you this illustration. Well, this is the right month for it. At the end of this month, many youngsters will be getting their exam results, their A-level results. And they'll want to have those results that they need to get to university. But think of this, perhaps. One student desires to go to Oxford University. He needs to get 3 A's or 4 A's or however many they do nowadays to get to this university. But he gets his results and he's failed. He's fallen short. But a friend that he knows, a friend has got 4 A's. He's going to go to Oxford University. And this poor student, he says to himself, oh, if only I had his grades. If only I could go to the attendance people at Oxford University and present his grades instead of mine. Then I could get in. Then I could get into that university. Well, you see, this is how it works in the Christian faith. We have a friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made the grade for heaven. He has lived that perfect life to get into heaven. And he gives his perfect life to us. You take this righteousness. You present it to God at the gates of heaven, as it were. And you will be able to go in because of my righteousness. This is what faith is. True faith. We must have that first and foremost. First and foremost, faith in Christ. Before you even consider church membership, the only way you can be a true church member is if you have, first of all, exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. So these things, they're so very important, but I won't keep you long on this warm morning. But seek ye first the words of the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, of course, they'll be added unto you. If God has given us his Son, if God has given us the eternal Son of God to die for us on the cross, well, do you not think that he won't give us everything else also? He will give us everything else if he's given us his Son. The Apostle Paul summed this up wonderfully in his letter to the Romans. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? This is where it starts, our faith in Christ. All these things shall be added unto you. Dear friends, you must put the Lord first. Think at the very end of your life. When we come to the very end, when we are laid low on our sick beds, on our death beds, what a comfort it will be for those who have put God first. You stand on the brink of eternity. What a comfort it will be to you to know I always put God first. But on the flip side, what a terror it will be to you if you know that you were never a sincere Christian. You attended church, but you never really put God first. He was always third, fourth, even if that. What a terror that will be to you, knowing that you were never truly saved. You never had that faith first of all. This is why we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, may the Lord help us and bless us, that we may give him his rightful place and honour him as we ought. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we have considered these stirring words of the Lord Jesus Christ, this great exhortation to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, we have nothing if we do not have faith in Christ, if we do not seek out that conversion experience. O Lord, our church attendance, our church membership, our outward religion is nothing. So Lord, help us to put first those things that we need, that thing that is needful, that we may yield entirely to Christ, and that we may love him with all our hearts. Bless us and help us, for thou knowest how weak we are and how sinful and how reluctant to do those things that are good. But Lord, bless us, we pray, and change us, that we may truly be honouring in thy sight. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.